Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford with my wife and wonderful Bible teacher, Sheila, who will be speaking in a minute. But first, as we always do, let's ask God's blessing for tonight's program. Holy God of Israel, you gave us your Son, our Messiah, to help us remember to use the power of his name against the many evil entities that encompass the unrighteous. Guide us by the light of your word. Let every verse keep us in your wisdom so that we know when to speak boldly, but also when to pray silently. Protect our young ones from secular brainwashing and all predators. Help us to be very observant of our surroundings that we may be aware of those who do not know you. So to offer the whispers of our prayers for their salvation. And as always, we pray for our loved ones that they can know you in a deep and personal way. We lift up to you all our listeners' health issues, especially the recent request. Bless tonight's study. Until you come again, may we honor and glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear, and shalom again, everyone. In a few minutes, we'll be looking into the book of Haggai, so if you might want to turn to it ahead of time. Okay, well, how does the saying go? It doesn't take a rocket scientist, .. It is quite obvious we are heading into some deep, uncharted waters in September. And by the way, this Friday at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio, I will be covering these scheduled and very possible climactic situations.
Yeah, there are many are questioning if the tribulation might begin next month.
Of course, no one knows for sure. And maybe it's just more foreshadows, but whether this year or next or the year after that, James 5 does point to the harvest time for his return, which we know is in the fall season, and the fall feasts are yet to be literally fulfilled.
And soon he will.
Amen.
And you'll be teaching on that this Friday at Chester Christian Center, but I also know you will be covering some troubling events scheduled to occur next month. Well, tell our listeners a few of them.
Okay. Well, of course, we'll have an update on the CERN collider that is trying, they say, to create the God particle. But sources say even more so. They want to enter into another dimension. The latest on Jade Helm's Southern military exercises we'll be talking about. And the closings of those Walmarts, what have they become, with its numerous underground tunnels. We'll also be looking at some subliminal messages in movies and commercials and even cartoons that are being hidden but in plain sight. And they're always looking towards the dates of September 21st through the 25th. Mostly, these are pointing to 9/23, which is, of course, as you know, Yom Kippur. So actually not even that subliminal anymore. It's kind of out in the open, sort of like that Taco Bell commercial. Well, the media did the same thing with 9/11, but we didn't notice it until after the fact.
So what does that tell you?
Again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist.
Unless you are working on the CERN collider.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, that's a good point, dear.
Yeah, Google CERN.
Yes, I think they mostly have. But anyway, did you know that the Muslims have an annual day of sacrifice? Just happens to fall this year also on Yom Kippur, which again is 9/23. But they do sacrifice a sheep, goat, or camel to Allah in memory of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son, whom they say was Ishmael. So next year does not fall on Yom Kippur, just this year. You know, so many things on this date. And don't forget, remember that French foreign minister said on May 13th of last year, 2014, while standing next to John Kerry, that we have only 500 days? Now, is that an exact number? He said to total climate chaos? And he also said on the edge of a climactic abyss or abyss. Anyway, that's a strong statement. Because it comes to 9/24 again in that same week. And look what our own president said this year in May. He said, climate change will impact every country on the planet. No nation is immune. Climate change constitutes a serious threat to global security, an immediate risk to our national security, and make no mistake, it will impact how our military defends our country. And we need to act. And we need to act now. Really? Are you kidding me? I don't even know how to respond to that. As well, the Pope will be addressing this subject when he comes to America because they are working together. And again, this is just a very big event this September. The Pope coming to Washington, also on Yom Kippur, to address a joint session of Congress. I'm telling you, I'm getting so amazingly excited about all this stuff. And then he's going to speak to the UN General Assembly. And he already said he's going to talk about climate change and the responsibilities that we have that come with it. Now, let me just tell you, if he brings a peace and safety covenant, I believe we will have already left.
Hopefully.
Unless his New World Order document called Agenda 21 or Sustainable Development still needs a little tweaking. I want my husband to read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 4, if you could.
For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they, the unrighteous, are saying, peace and safety, then destruction will become upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But for you, brethren, that's us, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief.
Thank you. Well, Friday we'll be looking at this again and how Jesus says that we will escape in Luke 21:36. Check it out.
Praise God.
Also, we'll look at Isaac Newton's prophecy. We'll look at the Shemitah, the Jubilee year, and at some of the other recent quotes that the Pope has given. It's just everything is fitting like a glove into what most believe will be a new world order, probably the proclamation even next month. And in my opinion, and maybe only in part for now, I'm open to that, but likely will in the future be the covenant of Daniel 9:27. Again, maybe right now still in the rough drafting of it, but I've been teaching for years that the tribulation some year would be signed on a Yom Kippur. And therefore, the tribulation on the Hebrew calendar would also end at sundown at Yom Kippur, when Jesus breaks through those clouds.
To literally fulfill it.
Yes. And the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets would have occurred at our resurrection just prior to the start of Jacob's trouble.
Which is when all of Israel gets saved.
Yes. And before you tell our listeners how they can reach us, let me add again, as I said last week, everything that is happening today, especially Iran, is to strengthen them for their attack on Israel, prophesied in Ezekiel 38, when God will step in and then all Israel will see their Messiah. Hallelujah. So in essence, Israel really cannot have any allies to depend on.
Right. They have to be totally dependent on the Lord.
That's how he wants it. So don't get too angered at how Obama is dissing Israel and instead hugging Iran. God has it all under control. And also we'll be talking about that darkened sun on Rosh Hashanah coming up September 13th and the blood moon on Tabernacles September 28th. Oh, and one more thing. They're saying that there's going to be an asteroid on September 24th. Now, how about that?
All right, then. You can send your end times questions to by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular, what do they call it, snail mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. Remember, this Friday and the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for worship with a timely Bible study. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, that's Route 306, in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m. Okay, any more newsy information before you get into the Jewish season of Teshuvah?
Teshuvah. Well, just to mention that, I'm sure you all heard about the Planned Parenthood, what they're doing to these precious unborn babies. But it's amazing to watch the left, how they care so much about animals, but they don't say anything about that. The other thing is that an Obama-appointed judge, okay, Obama-appointed this judge, has come out and said that we can't view any more of the Planned Parenthood videos that's been showing. I don't think we need to see any more, but I think that's pretty amazing that this judge is stopping it. Also, I want to just tell you real quick, a Jewish man last Thursday stabbed six people at Jerusalem's Gay Pride Parade, killing a 16-year-old girl. He was captured on the scene and is currently in police custody. But he recently, and this is what's amazing, he finished a 10-year prison term for stabbing three other marchers at the 2005 Jerusalem Pride Parade. You know, God says vengeance is mine. That's certainly not the right way to do it.
Yeah, handing tracts would have been much better. And, you know, I don't know if I told you, I saw a sign the other day, said, lost dog, reward, $10,000.
Oh, yeah, care more about animals than these little babies. This
okay,
is very
time
amazing.
For some, time for some okay. Hebraic Roots 101.
Yes, indeed. Let's get going at it. All right. We're going to be talking about the season of Teshuvah, which is Hebrew meaning repentance or turning closer to God. And it's soon upon us. It actually begins on August 16th, which is Elul 1 on God's calendar. Now, it's going to continue for 40 days to Yom Kippur, which is on Tishri 10, or as I've already told you, September 23rd. Now, each day was heralded in with the blowing of the shofar, and calling the shofar blown on the actual day of Yom Kippur, the great shofar, and that is now an idiom for Yom Kippur. And some of the strict Orthodox still do blow the shofar. So what's revealing here is that we see in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, that God particularly uses this season to warn his people of wrongdoing, so to be sure they repent, because they always knew that in some year, the resurrection would occur on the anniversary of the creation of man. This is written in their tractate book on Rosh Hashanah. And again, the strict Orthodox still believe that. But the others have gotten away from their Hebraic roots. In fact, Jews today who do receive the Messiah admit they have to learn their roots from the first century, because the teachings have changed, especially since the Dark Ages and the newly reformed teachings. And guess what? The same holds true with Christians. Since Constantine incorporated into the church the leaven, we too must go back and learn our roots, which is why I enjoy teaching it. But in a balanced way, omitting any legalism. As with the spring feast that Jesus fulfilled, he also fulfilled the Sabbath. So every day is a Sabbath. He celebrated Hanukkah in John chapter 10, and Jesus honored Teshuvah when he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted to sin by Satan. Also, this is pretty amazing. He's up on the mountain the second time for 40 days during what would be later called Teshuvah. He was there to repent for the Hebrews. Remember the golden calf incident? Well, he came down the mountain on what would become the Day of Atonement, Tishri Tet. And he had the new set of tablets. The atonement had taken place. Pretty amazing to connect the dots on all this. That's why I have this passion for us to know it too, for the bride. We are Jesus' wife soon. I can in no way hide the light of this knowledge under a basket. And of course, I believe this knowledge shows us that God is a date setter, and all the dates are already fixed. Now, let's look at a few confirming scriptures to this. In Haggai chapter 1, he begins by making sure that we know it is Elul 1 when we read that it was on the first day of the sixth month. So again, looking at the Hebrew calendar, you can know it was their season of Teshuvah, which means turn toward God. When God purposely waits till this time to rebuke them, and he did that because they were essentially being lazy. You know, I think of today's Laodicean church, lazy Christians, not socially, of course, but the conditions of their hearts were lacking. And back then, too, and not just for neglecting building his temple, but even more than that, we see within the context some details about the condition of their hearts or the cares of this life taking precedence. So he says, consider your ways. I love that terminology. Their houses were well done, but not God's house. In fact, in all aspects of their lives, it was better than God's house. So God says it twice, that they better consider their ways, meaning to turn around and get busy in doing what God requires, or he will withhold the rain. And he says that in verse 11. Wow. I think of California's drought. Right now, the poor farmers get hefty fines if they disobey the new water rules, as well as all the money it costs to pay the pollinators because the bees are scarce. And then there's the egg shortage due to the outbreak of the avian flu last spring, killing approximately 50 million chickens and turkeys. But let's get back to Teshuvah. It's not just repentance from sins committed, but sins of omission. We all can speak to that. So, what can we do to get closer to him? And that especially applies to us today. How about if we honor Teshuvah this year and get into the Word a lot? Oh, one more example I want to tell you about is in Ezekiel 8 and 9, where once again, God makes sure that we read that it's in the sixth month, which is Elul. Ezekiel is translated into the Spirit and shown Israel's idolatry in the temple and all manner of abominations, even amongst the elders who were hiding in the dark like God couldn't see them. God says, I will now act in my fury. And in chapter 9, we see how the wicked are indeed slain, but not the righteous who had the seal of protection. And this is a type of what will happen again during the final judgment recorded in Revelation, where the sealed ones in Revelation 7 represent the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel that get saved before the seals are opened, before that judgment. Ezekiel 8 and 9 is a great read for typology. I hope you'll do that this week. And we know from historians that the handwriting on the wall was in the early fall when Babylon was overtaken by the Medes and Persians, again, probably during Teshuvah. And it was during Elul that Nehemiah conquered the wall in Jerusalem after running into so much trouble and opposition. For according to Nehemiah 6:15, he felt it was a judgment to his enemies because he says, and I quote, for they, talking about their enemies, perceived that this work was done by our God. So it was kind of a judgment to them. You know, Nehemiah had gotten permission from the Persian king to return to the city of his fathers. And even though the temple was up, the city of Jerusalem was still in ruins. And we see that in here and also in Haggai. So, more recently, we know that the hurricane season is during Teshuvah, and 9/11 was during Teshuvah, and the stock market crash of 2008 was during Teshuvah, and economists are calling for another one this fall. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? During Teshuvah. Repentance and chastisement aside, think of Elul as the final month just before your wedding, and you have an idea of what Elul is all about. It's preparation. Of course, this preparation is not physical and material in nature, but rather spiritual. Earlier on the same day Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was proclaiming to repent. Now, doesn't that make sense? If it was the first day of Teshuvah, which I believe it was, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness for the 40 days of Teshuvah, and it was to prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, which would be 5 days later after Teshuvah, on Tabernacles. You know, Jewish law was that a man could not enter his ministry till the age of 30. And all this was set up by God. He is very exact and precise in everything he has forth to happen. Whatever he says, it happens precisely. And some year, likely on Adam's birthday, which is a Rosh Hashanah, also called Feast of Trumpets, which occurs on the 30th day during Teshuvah, our groom will carry us up to our wedding, chastising those left behind. It really is like a hand in a glove. Oh, and one more thing. The Hebrew letters for Elul, which is an acronym for Ani Lo Di Vido Di Li. And that's from the Song of Songs 6 verse 3. It says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. That's Elul. And according to traditional Jewish thought, this is a month in which God's people can also find particular favor with him, which I believe we will at the rapture. So, praise the Lord. We all need to repent often, but let's look at ourselves more closely during this time of Elul. Unless, of course, you can say, oh, my life and my home are completely in order, and my relationships are exactly as God would have them. Actually, we probably need more than 1 month for correcting errors of omission alone. And any time you make a teshuvah, any time of the year, it always leads to positive change, where much healing occurs. Okay, it's time. We've got to go. But remember, Christ died on the cross for you. He even went through hell for you. If you don't know him, people, give your hearts to the Lord right now. Till next time, Sha'aluz Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the Lord, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord, I know, will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, keep looking up. And don't forget, keep praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you do, you shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. Okay, see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.